Gene expression to determine nitrogen sufficiency in potatoes. The authors are Bernie Zabarth, Qixing Li, Dmitry Shevchenkov, Helen Tai, David DeCoyer, Pete Millard, Muhammad Haroon, and Mathurish Singh. The paper will be presented by Bernie Zabarth.
Good afternoon, everyone. I guess before I begin, just to acknowledge a couple of my co-authors here, Qixing Li and Helen Tai. It's because of their involvement we're able to take on this, which is kind of a new direction for us in terms of our research. So I think we all know the importance of picking the right fertilizer N rate. So it's important economically, it's important environmentally, and particularly now with the volatile nitrogen costs that we just heard about. So how do you pick that? I guess that's the challenge, because that optimum rate does vary a lot from field to field and year to year. And one strategy that's often used is to do some kind of an in-season measure of nitrogen status. So you're looking at some kind of measure. It tells you how the crop's doing. You get to refine your management in the growing season. And in potato, we have a couple of tools that have been used very regularly. So we have PDL nitrate testing, very common, particularly in North America. We have the SPAD meter used also quite commonly, particularly in Europe. A number of new techniques being used that are using different canopy light reflectance techniques. And what we were doing is thinking, well, maybe there's another way we can do this. So we're borrowing from medicine. So in medicine now, they're taking a little different strategy. They're doing gene expression profiling. So what they'll find is, you know, this set of genes is upregulated, this set of genes is downregulated. That tends to be related with a specific disease, so for example, a certain kind of cancer. And so we're thinking, well, can we do this in potatoes? Can we do the same approach where, again, we're able to link the expression of a gene to some stress that the potato plant is experiencing? So I guess the long-term goal, I guess the big vision, is ultimately to come up with some kind of a platform that will detect multiple stresses. So it could be nitrogen, it could be drought, it could be phosphorus, it could be any number, probably focusing primarily on abiotic stresses and not so much diseases. And in this study, we're doing the very, very first step, almost the baby step, as to, well, let's just even try it. So we picked four genes and tried to use them to detect nitrogen deficiency in a very artificial system, but just to see, can you even use gene expression, and how does that work? So we started with plantlets from tissue culture, and we started them here. We're actually floating them on the nutrient solution so we can grow them without damaging the roots. Once they get a little bit bigger, transplanted them into a vermiculite perlite media, grew them up a bit more to an early vegetative growth stage. Then flushed them with nitrogen-free water and imposed three different nitrogen treatments. So this is with a Hoagland's nutrient solution. So we found out earlier that the 7.5 millimolar was what we would consider an abundant supply. We went with one-tenth of that, 0.75 millimolar, as a nitrogen-limited, and then we had one with zero. So we are imposing these nitrate supplies immediately. And we tried three different varieties, Shepardy, Red Pontiac, and Russet Narcota. And it was a little bit odd the way we designed it. We wouldn't have done it the same. But when we did it, we did three different experiments. Each experiment was essentially one replicate. In the Shepardy, we sampled 1, 3, and 7 days after applying the treatments. Red Pontiac and Russet Narcota only at 3 days. And in each case, when we did any tissue sampling, it was averaged across four different plants. The gene expression, we did it on the last fully expanded leaf. So we took out the leaflets, chopped them up very quickly, flash freeze in liquid nitrogen, quantified the gene expression with real-time PCR, and focused on these four genes. So nitrate reductase, nitrite reductase, asparagine synthetase, and ammonium transporter. So first, looking at the shoot dry weight, these slides are all the same. We have Shepardy at 1, 3, and 7 days, and then Red Pontiac and Russet Narcota both at 3 days, and the color scheme is the same. So this is no nitrate, low nitrate, and abundant nitrate. And you can see we had a nice growth during there, no problem, good plant growth, and really no difference in terms of the nitrate supply. So there's still lots of nitrogen in the plant, it didn't limit growth. So using the SPAD meter to detect N sufficiency, you can see very little change over time, no treatment effect. So again, over that 7-day period, still lots of nitrogen in the plant, not enough to interfere with leaf chlorophyll concentration. Picked up some differences in terms of the petiole nitrate. So you can see here with the Shepherdy at 3 days, it's sort of starting to drop off. At 7 days, quite clear. You can see a depletion of nitrate in the petiole nitrate. So taking really 7 days to get a clear response to this reduction in nitrate supply. So the gene expression, just to take a minute to talk a little bit how this is done. So we had the three biological replicates, and each of those then we ran three times to get three technical replicates. So we had nine determinations in all. So you quantify your target gene, you quantify a reference gene, we use the COX-1. And what we're doing is calculating a ratio. So the ratio of either the 0 or 0.75 against the 7.5. And we use this particular software here. What it does, it takes all those determinations for whichever of these against the abundant, calculates a mean and a standard error of the expression ratio, does a log 2 transformation. So what you get in the end is if you end up with a 0, it means expression didn't change. Positive means upregulation, negative means downregulation. And we did a simple two-tailed t-test to see did we have a significant difference from 0. So was there a change in gene expression? So starting with nitrate reductase, again, we have Shepherdy at 1, 3, and 7 days, Red Pontiac, Resin Narcota. This would be upregulation, this would be downregulation, and the asterisks are ones where it's significantly different than 0. So we didn't compare these against each other, only against 0. So in this case, after 1 day, nothing significant. After 3 and 7 days, we have a significant downregulation of nitrate reductase for both of those depleted nitrate supplies. Red Pontiac only with the 0 nitrate, Russet Narcota, you can see both of the different end rates coming up. So quite a clean response other than this one here, and relatively early, so a nice clean response after 3 days. Nitrite reductase, not as clean. You can see here that we're picking it up at 3 and 7 days, but only where there's no nitrate applied. The Red Pontiac, again, only for the 0. Very nice in the Russet Narcota, though. It worked well there. The asparagine synthetase, again, downregulation, but much lower signal. And again, just on the 0 nitrate supply. Nothing significant on the Red Pontiac. And then just the 0 nitrate supply on the Russet Narcota. The ammonium transporter was all over the map. Very, very variable, nothing significant. So that one didn't pan out very well. So what does it all mean? Well, first of all, I guess to admit this is a very artificial system, right? So we had a system, we had an abundant supply, we're instantaneously having a dramatic reduction in nitrate supply and looking for a response. So very different than the field where you have a very gradual reduction supply. So granted that, we were able to detect the change in nitrate supply, able to detect it quite early, at least as early, perhaps more earlier than existing tools. Of those, the nitrate reductase was the most effective, and it really highlights the need to choose the right gene. If you're going to choose a gene, you have to choose the right one. And it did vary a bit with the cultivars. We're not sure if this is slight differences in the genes among the different varieties or different alleles. That we're not sure of. But what should work is targeting more genes. So in this particular case, we're only using one. If you use the human example, they're targeting a suite of genes, and that should give you better estimation. So we're following up with that. So we have a couple things going on. Like this year, we have a nitrogen rate trial. We have a different trial where we're looking at drought stress. We've got funding for a larger project over the next 3. We're going to scale up quite a bit and be able to work across Canada. And the other big advantage we have is a new instrument. So we've been using real-time PCR right now, which works not too bad, but you have to quantify each gene one at a time. We've got something called the nCounter now, which will allow simultaneous quantification of genes. So, for example, for this trial, we'll have 20 target genes and 5 reference genes quantified simultaneously. So we'll be able to dramatically speed up our quantification. And again, the long-term vision is to come with a platform we can use for multiple stresses. The limited work that has been done suggests that, for example, a nitrogen stress is different than a drought, is different than nitrogen plus drought. So we may be able to distinguish among stresses. Now, of course, the big question is, well, nice idea, but, you know, is this practical? Well, at the moment, absolutely not. at the moment, there's not a hope in heck that you'd want to do this, particularly if you just wanted to do nitrogen. You know, it's very expensive. Most places can't even run the samples. However, the technology is advancing very, very rapidly. So the cost of quantification, the tools are increasing dramatically. Here we had to flash freeze with nitrogen. Within 3 years, we'll probably be able to not use liquid nitrogen anymore, probably go to some kind of a buffer system. So realistically, in 5 to 10 years, it probably will be practical. So I guess what we're hoping to do is develop the groundwork so that when that comes, we'll actually have a system that we can apply. And with that, I'll thank you for your attention.
We have time for some questions.
Ken Greer from Saskatoon, Canada. Bernie, when you're looking at those kind of indicator genes, is there any thought put into what could be upregulated earlier or maybe later in the growth cycles? Because definitely a lot of the PDL testing is done at a much later time. You were looking at very young, earlier plants. Is there a temporal difference in the plant tissue as you get out to those later leaves?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. Again, this past year we did six different N rates in the field, and we did it all over the whole growing season. So basically starting at about when you would start PDL nitrate testing, 40, 45 days after planting, right through to late bulking phase. And we haven't had a chance to run that yet. It's hard to say. I mean, when you hit the bulking phase, you may well have quite a shift. It's hard to say. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
The nitrate that's affecting the nitrate reductase gene, would it make more sense to just measure nitrate? Would that be earlier, or would the gene expression be occurring before you start seeing changes in that?
Yeah, I guess, again, if you're all you wanted to do was measure nitrogen, you're probably better off to just do measure nitrate, right? It's what's in the plant. I guess there's a couple of differences. So one is by going to the gene expression, you get to see what the plant thinks. So does it think it has enough nitrogen? Because it's going to be responding based on its supply. I know in some cases PDL nitrate testing is very effective. Other cases it can be quite misleading. You know, you can have numbers that it really sends you down the wrong path. You know, maybe this will get around it because it's actually what the plant's responding. The other advantage of this may be, again, through using a suite, we can pick up the nitrogen. Like these were chosen based more on nitrate, but then if you pick up some based on ammonium, again, you might be able to see a little bit better the shift from nitrate to ammonium under limited supply. Maybe it'll be earlier. I mean, we don't know yet. We're still dreaming.
And definitely at the cell level, the upregulation of genes will happen well in advance of a lot of the concentration changes, because the plant senses those first and reacts. The gene regulation, upregulation, should be a more sensitive and earlier indicator than total concentration. Is that fair to say?
Well, we're hoping, but it also may be a lot noisier. Again, we're not sure. And this type of thing, it's only now with the new technologies you can actually get enough samples to do that kind of thing. So just how much variability is. Now you can go to full replication. You can go and, I mean, now for us to run 100 samples, not a big deal, whereas that used to be, like for that work I presented there, that was close to 6 months of work. Now we can do that in a week.